Good morning, Heartlands. Hope it all finds you well. Shoo. You know, last night I was sitting prepping for this morning, and it's been such a busy season for us. We've really been busy. I'm going to give you some insight to what we've been busy with. But most evenings I sit at a dinner table and I say something to the effect of, boy, my legs are sore. I'm tired. My body is tired. I need a good massage. Lani is not here to hear this now, but I knew I would throw hints with little success. And I was kind of doing the same thing last night. I was kind of saying, oh, you know, because we've been moving. We've moved into the Haven home, and we're going to talk about it later. And it meant that we had to carry some heavy furniture up a very steep set of stairs. And I'm not the young, sprite man that I used to be. And so I'm feeling the effects afterwards. But it was just suddenly something happened last night. It was a realization of something incredible is happening. And we're going to just talk about the season we're in. We're going to talk a bit about what God is taking Heartlands through. And many of you are participating in it. So you are perhaps like I am, aware of what's happening. Some of you might not be. So this is the opportunity for you to see what's happening. A while ago, God gave me this picture of a wave that's starting. And his invitation is, go grab your surf plank, your surfboard. Sorry, if I don't call it planks anymore. Surfboard, come and join the wave. And he's promising us, I think he's promising us a unique wave. And potentially the start of a wave for this generation. Revival for this generation, for this church, is potentially starting now. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Yeah, have you seen surf competitions? I can't say that I'm a surf aficionado. I can't say that I love surfing that much. But, you know, sometimes they win it, those competitions on those shows that I've watched, based on the selection of the right wave. And somebody just got the right wave, and because they selected the right wave, they won the competition. Well, this is that wave. This is that opportunity to be part of something incredible God is doing. Yeah, so in this busy period, I want to see, hands up, who's been to the marriage course this week? Yeah. We know that some of you couldn't make it. Our invitation is, come and join us still. You know, if we have to, we'll find a way to get you the first week's material. Susie, am I right? Yeah, we'll find a way of getting you a video and the material. Please don't exit just because you missed the first week. Yeah. Before we get into the update, and the last update that I did in the spot of a sermon was last year, June. Can you believe it? It's 9 months ago, 9+ months ago. Boy, did things change. Now, we did try and update you every now and then. Every now and then I would jump up, or Mill would give you some updates. But this is going to be a more comprehensive update. But before we get there, I just want to talk into why we do what we do. Why is it important? Okay, so the heading of today's chat is Faith That Matters. And the text, the key scripture is James 2 verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith. Others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So, not to embarrass anybody, but who here has read the Bible from beginning to end? Not necessarily in that order, but who's read the whole Bible? Hands up. Okay. Who's familiar with the book of James? Now, if you read the book of James, you might be struck that he seems a bit angry. He's very direct in the book. James, verse James, is the brother of Jesus. the physical brother of Jesus. He was the lead elder, for lack of better description, of a church in Jerusalem. So he took over leadership of the first Christian church from Peter. When you read his words and you read it a couple of times, you actually realize that and you understand the background, you understand where he came from. You know, Jesus and his brothers never went to some seminary. They never got to do the theological teachings that might have been available those days. They never went to rabbi school. But what's incredible is the depth of their understanding of what God's expectation is of us. And it's very evident that James, even though he probably was challenged by what his brother was doing, what Jesus was doing, he learned from his brother. He learned and he took on what his brother was saying. And in leading the church of Jerusalem, he was saying what his brother was saying. And it's fascinating that today we get the benefit of hearing somebody else's learnings from Jesus. And so James in this book was writing to fellow Hebrew believers. So his focus is Hebrews, not the Gentile believers. Fellow Hebrew believers outside of his local church. And he's raising some issues, he's raising some serious concerns, and he does it directly. What we sometimes don't understand is that is the Hebrew way. The Hebrew way was to speak plainly and directly. We would think them rather crass if we had to listen to them today. Because Hebrews and the Hebrew culture is a very direct culture. It's very straight, and it tells you the way things are. Especially in modern sensitivities, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear something cutting straight to the point. You know, that's why the Bible talks about that the word is a double-edged sword. You know, it says that it cuts between flesh and flesh, bone and bone, sinew and sinew. It cuts precise. It goes directly. And sometimes that's what's needed. Sometimes you need a softer word. But sometimes what's needed is the direct word. And especially in that culture, the direct word is needed because that is the nature of that culture. That was the nature of those people. So what I want to do, just read a bit out of James, review it a bit, and then we'll do the Haven update. So in James, I've just selected some scriptures, but the end of the last verse in chapter 1, James says this, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." Saying to his fellow Jesus believers, I'm going to address this point. If you read the end of chapter 1, what he kind of does is he gives a summary of the points he wants to address of the rest of the letter. And where he takes this point into further detail is the latter half of James 2. Now, it seems to us when we read it today that he was battling what we will call a class system that was developing in the early church. Now, what do I mean with a class system? That there was a place, or what was happening is the wealthier believers were disassociating themselves from the poorer believers. And he was trying to address that and say, hey, we are one body under Christ, we're one set of believers under Christ, and we've got to figure out how the poorer and richer Christians work together. And it's funny, not long ago, I sat in the company of somebody that ministers in the USA, and he was telling a very interesting story that in their environment, in the community that they minister, the biggest problem is that the billionaire Christians don't want to sit with the millionaire Christians. Isn't that crazy? And I'm not talking rand millionaires and rand billionaires, I'm talking dollar billionaires, dollar millionaires. My understanding is that in that environment, there's competition. The billionaires made it already, and the millionaires want to make it. So there's a competition between them. And it's sad, because in that environment, you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go, your status of the world. You've got to let it go, because what God wants to do is create a new society. He wants to create a new understanding of community. And if we keep on bringing the world in it, and that's funny how he ends it with refusing to let the world corrupt you. If we keep bringing the world into the church will never reach what it's supposed to. It will never achieve what it can. It will always be hobbled by the worldly things we bring into it. Okay. Faith without good deeds is dead. That's the heading that I took out of the NLT. So if you're wondering which version I read the very beautiful and easy to understand NLT, but not the word-for-word translations, which ESV and King James Version tries to be. Okay. James 2 verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. I read that verse again. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. To say you have faith isn't enough. In Romans, Paul explains that if you are able to confess with your mouth that what Jesus did is sufficient to save you, and if you believe it in your heart, then indeed you are saved. The former is easy. To confess it with your mouth is easy. But to believe in your heart means that if that belief takes a hold of you, the center of you, some things have to change. You cannot remain the same walking in relationship with Jesus and faith that what he has done has saved you and still live like the world would ask you to. Something has to be impacted. Something has to start to change. And God is not unrealistic. He realizes that some things have to be worked out. Some mindsets have to be moved. Some billionaires have to learn to go sit with the lowly millionaires. Understand? Some things have to change. Some things have to be rearranged. And in many respects, we've got to say that is wrong because I believe something else now. I don't believe what was, but I believe what I can see is true in Jesus. This is the revelation that we in Heartlands live with. It's that faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit walking with us changes us. There's a name for that. It's called the journey of sanctification. It's God walking with us, changing us as we become more and more in the image of Christ. It's a process. It's a process. And that process, as James explains it now, bears fruit. What's fruit? Fruit is things that you do that's different to the way you've done it, that is good, that has a good impact, that serves to expand the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Our willingness to do what God asks us to do. Does that make sense? We cannot say we have faith in God and not be changed, and not start doing things differently. Start bearing good fruit. So as I'm reading this, what I don't want you to do is to feel condemned. Okay? Because a lot of good things are happening right now. A lot of good things are happening right now. And this is more a reflection of what we as leadership are trying to do, and showing you the basis on which we want to do it. Okay, So please don't read it with any sense of guilt. Verse 18, now some may argue, this is our key verse, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? How will people know you are a follower of Christ if you continue to do the things that you did before you followed Christ? You know, He will impact your life. If you have any understanding of what the cross meant and what His resurrection means, you will change. You will change. It might be slow or it might be quick, but you will change. There's a real impact that Him has and Him in us have. Because the promise is that if we are taking up this faith, that He will give us somebody to walk the faith out with, the Holy Spirit. Okay, I will show you my faith by my good deeds. And to be honest, this is the core portion of what we want to discuss today. Let's say, Heartland Haven, we want to show our faith by what we do, by our good deeds. Going on, verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe us. And they tremble in terror. I've met many people that do believe there's one God. They even believe that Jesus did die for us. But they don't take it up. They don't accept it. They don't take that faith and say, this is mine. This is driving my life. This is becoming determinative in my life. And they would not call themselves Christians. It's funny. It's incredible. But, you know, people do strange things. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? And then he goes into some examples, and I want you to see something. In his examples, he gives no examples of somebody that actually was doing something for orphans and the widows and for the people that cannot help themselves. The examples he uses is out of Old Testament. And let's look at them. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abram was shown to be right by God by his actions? And when he offered his son on the altar, you see his faith and his actions work together. You cannot distinguish what you do in this journey from what you believe. The two go hand in hand. There's an alignment between the spiritual and the physical once it's in the kingdom. God does things in the physical to confirm what is already said is true in the spiritual. If we take on Jesus and what He's done for us, we are resurrected. We are renewed. We are forever going to live with God. That's the promise. Now what God does in the physical is start to renew. The kingdom comes to earth, the physical earth, by taking up the spiritual truth. The two walk hand in hand. The physical have to conform to the spiritual. And not like many people often think is that I do in the physical and then the spiritual will conform. No, the spiritual leads and the physical conforms. Okay. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scripture says, Abram believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Not too long ago, we went through a full series around this. This is the core of Romans. And it was the core of Luther's renewal of the church. When Luther got this point, he said, yeah, we get it wrong. We think our actions make the church. No, our faith leads our actions. Actions cannot lead our faith. We do because we believe. We don't believe because we do. Okay. He was even called of a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right by God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by actions. When she heard the messengers and sent them safely away by a different road, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Just, you know, if you go read in Judges what Rahab did, it's just incredible. You know, suddenly these spies appear. What was her reaction? Her reaction was, I know that this is the true God. And I know you are his people. I'm hiding you out of a whole city destroyed. Her and her family were saved by her faith. In Sodom, there were one believing family. They could have all been saved except for the one that looked back at the past. Faith is different. Faith leads us to different actions. So we are called to a faith that matters. I've just set up a little bit of a foundation of why Heartland's Haven, why we're doing this. Through the Bible, and there's some examples, and I'm not going to run through them all, we know that the Bible continuously highlights the need, the care of the poor, the needy, the foreigners and orphans, and widows. I want to talk a bit about the heart of Heartlands. And I want you to see with me how Heartlands Haven reflects these points. The heart of Heartlands is to hear what God is saying to us. When we were having discussions around what we believe God is saying to us as a leadership, Susie took out a book and she started quoting dreams, visions, and prophetic words around God wanting us to do something for the destitute and orphan children of his community. Now, often when those things happen, you can say, I don't think it's from God. You choose that. Or you can choose to go to God and ask him, Lord, is that you? I've sat in discussions where people brought up points and I felt God say, no, that's not me. But in our discussion, it was clear to me that God was in it. And because we know that God says, do this, that's why we started putting actions towards what we believe God is saying. Heartlands Haven was born out of a desire to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. And let me say that no single church can do everything. We have to hear what God is saying to us. Other churches are called to other things. And that's wonderful and that's good. But we've got to hear what God is calling us to. Our heart is, of course, to obey what he asks us to. By us saying, okay, how do we give effect to this, including the fact that we had to register an NPC company? That is being obedient to what God's doing. We're looking at the vehicles for options available to us to be obedient to what he has called us to. And we discussed it as a team, and we went ahead and registered Heartlands Haven as a company. And then you go ahead and try and get the next thing that would make be useful. And we went to SARS, and we said to SARS, SARS, we'd like to do this charitable thing. Would you allow us to do this and be able to issue certificates that's to the benefit of taxpayers? And we got that approval. A harness to bring glory to God, not only through what we do, but how we do it. And let me say that by no means are we perfect. We do things, but it doesn't always work out perfectly. But God isn't necessarily always worried about the perfect. He loves excellence, don't get me wrong. God loves excellence. But our idea of perfect would mean that he can't shine through. So God just wants us to do things excellently. And just doing it would sometimes mean there's an opportunity for his light to come through. Our heart is to see all of you, all members, become mature Christians. And this includes participation. Participation is what mature Christians do. Mature Christians say, where's my opportunity to be a part of something? Where's my chance to do something that matters? How can I live out this faith that I believe it, that God has saved me, and I don't live for myself anymore? I live for Him, but I also live for a community. A community of people that believe with me. And by the way, that community is not a stagnant community. We look forward to God adding to us. You know, we look forward to growing. There's more and more people that believe in us. And lastly, that we want to love people. We love God's people and those He's called. And we assist that we are so those we are supposed to. Now, I was very deliberate in saying it that way because we don't have all the world's resources. It's not in our capacity to help everybody that comes to us. And I've been in places where somebody's come and asked for help, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't help. I'm working on them. So we help those that we believe God is saying we have to help. But God's told us to help. But having the heart that we want to make a difference. The heart, starting from the place of the heart, of wanting to impact people's lives and see that they improve. Let's talk about Heartland Haven. We're moving off the kind of the scriptural side of things, and let's get into the practical side of things. So Heartland Haven is a registered company. NPC stands for non-profit company. Okay. But let me say that even though Heartland Haven is structured through a company, it's not a company. Heartland Haven consists of people that want to make a difference. People that want to lay a hand and see something change. People that want to see the kingdom of God increases. People that want to see other people's lives improve. That's what Heartland Haven is. It's people. That company could be dormant, except that there are people that give effect to what we wanted to do. Our primary focus is the care of orphaned, abused, abandoned, and neglected children. By the way, to be honest, we didn't choose that definition. We had a list of things we had to choose from, and this is the only box that fit our requirements. So this is the box we ticked on the form to get the company registered. Okay. Within that context, though, guys, there's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things we can do. We are community-focused, so our focus is hard to be as poor. We're not trying to solve the problems in Joburg. But if God sends somebody out of Joburg here, then of course we'll help. Yeah. So just to repeat that, Heartland Haven is focused on children. That's what we feel that God has called us to. The visions and the dreams and the words that we receive was specifically aimed at helping children. And it's useful that you understand it. Our calling is to make a difference to children. Okay, we are a PBO, which is what SARS gave us. SARS gave us this qualification. And this allows us to issue Section 18A certificates. And these allow a taxpayer to claim some non-tax deductible income. You can deduct the donations that you make to Heartland Haven. It's of huge help to us because often people want to of course see their money have more effect. We haven't started yet because it's a different process and it's far more complicated to get ourselves registered with the Department for Social Development. But we are in the process of setting ourselves up to start that process. Okay, so we've got a new logo. I think it's awesome. I think it's a cool logo. So if you don't know, it's the logo on the right. That's the new logo. I think it's beautiful. And it's because we've decided, because there's a lot of different things happening, to build some alignment between the different things that will happen, ministries that will happen through Heartland Savon. I think it's really modern and funky. Well done, Kerry. Love it. Okay. So currently I want to talk just around the four ministries that's currently part of Heartland Savon. The first is the primary focus, which is our establishment of a children's home. Okay. The next one would be homework support, then trauma counseling, and lastly we'll talk about Thrift Haven. Okay, so a lot of things have happened. We have early December we entered in an agreement to purchase a property in Schoemansville. What we didn't realize is that the way we were structuring that sale was incorrect, because the property was actually in a deceased estate. So what happens is the managers of the estate basically restarted negotiations with us. And the agreement we signed was null and void. So we had to fight with them to get everything the way it was in the original agreement, and frankly, we couldn't win. So we did get to an agreement, and early March, we finally signed the new agreement with the estate to purchase this property. Okay, so who has been to 51 Harrington? Who's seen the... Okay, if you haven't, please don't be shy. You're welcome to come and visit us. We'd love to show you the property. We'd love to share with you the dreams and visions we have for what we want to do there and how it's going to work. You know, it isn't for us to keep it to ourselves. We want everybody to be part of this. But don't be shy. Come and talk to us. You know, maybe there will be an opportunity. We often now hold church events and activities at the property since we've got all the space. So what is it? What is on the property? In short essence, there's 12 rooms separated over two buildings. The rooms are fairly spacious, so we can fit in a lot of children there. And in addition to that, it's got a lot of living space. And that's good, because one of the reasons, one of the activities we want to run from that house is the homework support. We want to do homework support from there. And one of the criteria of the property, two main criteria, it must be large. Large, 12 rooms, large enough, wouldn't you say? And it had to be close to the schools. So we wanted to be close to the primary school and the high school, so the kids can walk from those schools for the homework support in the afternoons. And this property meets those requirements. It's two blocks away, two and a little bit blocks away from the primary school, GHS. I don't know what the full name is, General Hendrik Schoemans Primary School. Yeah. And it's about 5-6 blocks away from the high school. Nothing like a little bit of exercise before we put you to homework, eh? But it's really well located. The original intent for it was for it to be a bed and breakfast. Then COVID arrived and it became a boarding home. But because of the passing of the owner, it landed in a deceased estate and it was sold, and that's why we purchased. Okay. So we took occupation 1 April. My family and I moved in on the 12th of April. The reason we moved in is so that we could look after the place, but also get it ready. There's a lot of work left in that house. There's a lot of things that we have to do to get that house ready for DSD approval. My kids called it the Flintstone house. And if you look on the inside of what the walls look like, they tried to make it look like it was a bunch of rocks put together on the inside. It doesn't speak family. It doesn't look family friendly. So it needs a lot of work. Chloe and Francina joined us on the 22nd of April. And in between, we've done a number of improvements. You know, we painted some rooms. We had to fix some security elements. We had to fix some broken windows. So there's a lot of little things that we've already done just to make it livable for the time while we wait for it to go through transfer. Okay, so... we want to share a little bit of a vision for this home and also a little bit of a larger vision for the home ministry. Okay. So we're waiting for the property to transfer. We cannot invest significantly into fixing up the house till it's in our name. So we're eagerly waiting for that. And in that respect, guys, we ask for your prayers. We ask you for your prayers. This has been a really challenging transaction. It always feels like there's somebody else that has input on the other side, on the sales side. And therefore, we ask, pray for us so that we can get this transaction done as quickly as possible. That includes the fact that things are very slow at the master's office. And we need some approvals from the master of the court in order to get this transaction done. But there's a huge backlog. So we ask you guys, please pray that our application, or whatever you call it, lands up top, so we can get it through quicker. Okay. As I say, there's some big work required. We have to, what do you call it, to redo the walls. We've got to replaster the walls. And if you know this building, there's a lot of walls to be replastered. There's a lot of work there. Okay. The electricity needs a lot of work. There is so many things that although the structure is solid and it's good structure, there's some of the finer things that have left behind and we've got to fix up. Geezer's not working, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of work that waits for us. Okay, and after we've done this, we're going to go through the DST approval process, because ultimately, kids cannot be placed with us unless we've got the approval of the Department of Social Development. So that is a major requirement. That's a major hurdle for us. I don't think it's going to be a difficult one, but it's an important one. Okay, and then after that, we pray that God will bring the right people to us to foster these children. Ultimately, you cannot get away from the human element. We need believers that want to come and settle in this place and say, I'm ready to take kids that would have not had a hope and be a hope for them. For kids that whose futures were condemned, and to be parents for them. And there's a lot of neglect. We are aware of so many cases, almost on a weekly basis. We are informed of kids that need a place. Of kids that need a help. Whose parents are incapable of looking after their children. Or kids that are recently orphaned. You wouldn't believe what happens in this world. And I don't want to sadden today by going through some examples. But it's incredible how much need there is for this. And no wonder God told us to do this. But longer-term vision is we want to develop a home village. The life, I don't know if you guys know the life model. It's called life, huh? Live. The live model. Susie always has to correct me because I keep forgetting it. Okay. And so they run a home setup, a village setup, where there's a number of houses. Each house has a foster parental unit with a bunch of kids allocated to them. So we can then potentially look after many, many kids, much more than we currently can. This house we think has got capacity for two sets of four foster parent sets. That's what we think we can do out of this house. It's a start, but at least we've got a start, and we can get some other ministries going as well. Okay, where do we need your help? Yeah, please pray for us all along the journey. Right now, the emphasis on getting the transfer done. Please pray for us in that regard. And yeah, I haven't mentioned yet. We've decided to call the property the Stepping Stones property. Okay, our name Stepping Stones refers to the fact that this is going to be a place where people might not be for very long, but they're going to step into from one place to another, from trouble to a solid future. Stepping Stones is where we're going to make differences to people's lives. So if in the future you hear we're going to meet at Stepping Stones, please know that Stepping Stones refer to 51 Harrington Street, Scommonsville. Okay, and then, guys, we always need finances. If you feel specifically called to contribute towards this, you know, just mark your EFT stepping stone, so that we know you're specifically into having an account, which will be reflected later. Yeah. Okay, and then of course there's going to be a lot of renovations happening later. Homework support. I thought Carol. She's teaching today. Okay, so Carol leads that. As you guys might have known, last year we looked after a lot of kids and we supported a lot of children with homework support. But with the start of this year, we had to put a pause on that because we wanted to see the property purchase first. Now that we're occupying the property, we're going to restart that. And on Tuesday, the first classes will take place at the Haven, and currently with two children. But we sit with 6 to 8 other kids that have been referred to us, and we're just going through the background of what's happening there to see if they are the right type of children that we can help through this program. So we're waiting, but it will grow, and it will grow quickly. We are thinking of starting a sponsor, a child type of option of donation, where for 10 months a year we need 1,500 rands per month. And that will take care of financing the homework support, professional teachers standing there with children, assisting them with their help. And let me say, it's more than just getting the homework done. What we're really doing is we're making sure that they understand the work. We are helping them to understand what they are missing, where we identify educational gaps, we identify development gaps, and sometimes we step in and find other people to help specific needs, to address specific needs. We call it homework support. It's probably totally undercalling what we're doing. We're really looking at the full educational makeup, and it's a great place to see it. When kids do homework, you can see what they find easy, you see what they find challenging, and what we try to do is we want to address those things that are challenging. Okay, so look out, guys. It'll probably be on Facebook, an advert with regards to the sponsor a child. Now, just with regards to that, 1500 just doesn't only pay for the teacher. It also helps us to give them something to eat as they arrive from school. Okay, so we're going to have some food options for the kids as they arrive from school. So we're not expecting them to learn hungry. Okay, trauma counseling. We spoke a bit about it last week. Lisa is leading that. Yeah, guys, I can't tell you the horrific things that happens in our community. Children that are absolutely harmed by the people that should actually look after them. And what we've done is in the Stepping Stones, we've taken one room and dedicated to Lisa and what she's doing. And that's a photo of what I don't know, I think it's looking even a little bit different now, of what the room looks like, where she sits and works with the children. Yeah. We contribute something towards this ministry. And I think you've already had your first counseling sessions at home. So we're starting to use this home for real things. You know, we're really busy with the things that God's already called us to. Okay. Thrift Haven. Oh, there's some excitement. Glad to hear that. Who's been to the Thrift Haven? Can I ask that if you haven't been, make the effort to come and visit us? Come and look at what we're doing there. Okay, so it opened on the 2nd of May, and we didn't do any marketing. And to be honest, when I kind of co-opted the elders to do this thing, I had very pessimistic. They were skeptical, so I had very conservative expectations. And my expectation was a certain benchmark for the first month. We almost achieved our first benchmark on day one. We were just short of it. By day two, we far exceeded it. And yeah, we after the... After the first 5 days of trading, we basically doubled the first day. So it's far exceeding our expectations. And success brings new challenges. Success brings new challenges. And we're going to talk about the new challenges. You know, it's the which problem do you want? You know, if I want the problem of having a lot of stock but no sales, we could have had that. But the problem we've got is great sales, we need more stock. I'll gladly take that problem. Okay. So the question is, why secondhand store? And what does it have to do with the charitable activities of Heartlands Haven? Before we embarked on this process of starting Heartlands Haven, we actually met and interviewed people that ran charities through our network, people that we knew. And of the four people that I met, and I know that some leaders met other people, but of the four people that I met that run charities, three of them run stores, run secondhand stores. Two of them said to me that if it wasn't for their stores, during COVID they would have gone under. Okay. We were explained that the DSD expects charities to run sustainability projects. So the Department of Social Development wants to see something that the charity is doing that could bring in income even if the donations dry up. So we knew that we had to do something, and the honest truth is for years ago, more than 10 years ago, I remember God started talking to me about starting a shop on behalf of a church. I didn't know that it was going to be on behalf of a ministry for the church. And for years I've been carrying this thing, and every now and then the Holy Spirit would remind me, you know, this thing. I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to do with it? Okay, but when the Heartlands Haven discussion came up, God reminded me. And that's why we brought it up. And what started was an incredible journey where we first said, bring in your secondhand goods. We'll find ways of monetizing it. And so, my thinking was maybe we will load a trailer full and we'll go to an auction house and we'll auction it off. But over time, thinking refined to that idea of God saying run a shop. And it's interesting, guys. I've been walking with this for more than 10 years. Didn't know how it will happen. Didn't know when it will happen. And let me say, I think there are dreams in each one of you. It might not be with regards to a ministry, or it might not be with regards to something else, but there are things that God's placed in you that you think is cool and you'd love to do, but you don't know how it's going to happen. Don't let that die. My encouragement is, guys, let God lead you through that to the right place. Okay. Okay, so why else? Okay, I did talk about the dependence of financial donations, but there's also ministry opportunities. One of the challenges is we've got to figure out how to put some scriptures in there. And believe you me, there's a fair amount of people that walk in there that it has no relationship with Jesus. You can see it. You just know as they're walking in. And my heart goes out, Lord, how can I reach them? Maybe right now, the only way that I'm reaching them is by saying hello to them. But at an opportunity, I hope that God will open up some doors to pray for people, to answer their questions about Jesus they might sit with or battle with, to know that there's some place that maybe on a commercial basis is willing to talk about Jesus anyway. Just to be there, just to be available. We definitely want to represent Heartlands Haven well, not just our God, but Heartlands Church well, so that people would know that we are an extension of what this body believes, or what this body wants to see done. And the last thing is we want to do enterprise development. So we've identified some people in the church that are making things or selling things, that perhaps we can add to that. That we can add to that. Even if what you're doing is not directly relevant to that shop, come and talk to me. Maybe what we can do is we can just have a advertising board with little advertisements of businesses run by people out of this church. So please, don't be shy. Come and talk to me. Okay. So what are we looking for? I'm looking for Haven Angels. And when I talk about Haven Angels, I often refer to my mom. My mom is not part of this church, but whenever we go to my parents' place, we walk into the entrance, she's already got some bags there that she wants us to take. Bags of clothing, bags of shoes, bags of something she thinks we can use. You know, I wouldn't forget it. We walked in and there was something that I remember from my childhood, and I can't believe that she was donating it. But it was awesome, you know. So she's already an angel, even though she's not part of this community. And we need Heartland's angels. I need you guys to please consider and think about how you can support us. And that includes going through your cupboards. Go and find that item that you have bought, and you always think you're going to wear it, but you never got around to it. Please bring it. And there's some things that sell incredibly quick. Men's shoes. Men's shoes. We can't keep up. I put two pairs of size 13 shoes out. Size 13. You know, compared to mine, that's clown shoes. You know? They didn't last 2 hours. Both pairs were gone in less than 2 hours. So please, guys, we need whatever you can bring. You know, we need quality stuff, of course, because it has to be sellable. And we're not selling underwear, so please don't bring underwear. But you know, if I had to highlight some stuff that really goes quickly, clothes are going well, but shoes particularly, and including ladies' shoes, are flying. And you know, I always in my vision had a view that we'll be selling furniture, but I don't know where to put it. We don't have enough space. Even though when we first looked at that shop, I thought it was too big. And Jane was, I don't know where Jane is, but she's also with her kids. Boy, yeah, it's incredible. Jane and I looked at that shop and said, we don't know how we're going to fill this. Well, we filled it. And now I don't know where to put the furniture that I've received from donations, and where we want to sell. We'll figure out something. Okay, so can I ask, who here will be our angel? Come on. Angels, please put up your hands. Okay. I'm going to be naughty and ask for more logos. If we can have a Heartland's Angel logo. Heartland's Haven Angel. I don't know if that equates to a biker, like a Hell's Angel thing, but we'll figure it out, okay? Yeah. Jordan, you could be an angel. Yeah. We'll clad you in leather. Okay. So we Heartland's Haven has got a Facebook. We'll try and keep you updated of developments on that. So please go on there, like, subscribe. I don't know what you call that. But please join that. If you've got questions, don't be shy to contact Lundy or myself. If you've got specific questions around the ministry, you know who we are. You know, if you've got questions to Carol around the homework support, and maybe you feel that you can assist with a weekend, afternoon a week to help with the kids. We're not there yet, but when we get to the numbers of, say, 6+, we'll need additional hands. So if you feel that one day maybe that's something you could be a part of, please don't be shy. And lastly, I'll just share this so that maybe take a picture of us if you don't have the bank details yet. And please don't be shy. The contributions matter. You know, we always underestimate what it costs to run things. So now we have a house, a home, and we've got to pay for electricity. Currently we're paying monthly for a rental. These were expenses we didn't have in March. So now suddenly the ante's upped. You know, we've made a step up. And you know what's funny? I don't know if Wimderk is here. I didn't see him. But he gave a word to me, and he said, Harold, whatever you have in mind, God wants to bless that. And what he didn't know is that we were still debating this shop idea. And if his word helped me greatly to get over my little bit of insecurity about pushing it a little bit harder. And so it's just once again confirmation in how God works through a community. And he works and speaks through a community. And there's place for everybody to play some participative role. Okay. Great, guys. I think that brings us to the end. It wasn't the smoothest of landings. But can I ask that we end with a prayer? And just say, Lord, thank you. We've had an incredible 1-2 months. The last one or two months have been incredible. It's been one of your suddenlies. And I've heard about your suddenlies, and it's incredible to caught up in your wave that you are starting. Lord, if we haven't grabbed our, surfboard. If we haven't grabbed our surfboards, Lord, we want to grab our surfboards. We want to participate. We want to be part of what you're doing. So even if we don't know what we can do, Lord, you know, show us what we can do. Show us where we can participate. Show us what we can be part of. And Father, we as a community thank you for the opportunities that you've prepared for us. You've prepared for us to start a home for children. You've prepared for us to do homework support. And as incredible as it is, we didn't know that beforehand, but it's incredible to be in this journey with you. And we thank you for every success. We thank you for every lesson. And we thank you for those going forward. Amen. Guys, just to reiterate, and I just want to finish with this, is please don't hold back. I've been in a church where the church started something, and I looked from the sidelines, and I didn't participate, and I missed out on that opportunity, what God was doing there. Please don't miss out on this. And this is not going to disappear next week. So don't feel rushed. If you're in a season where you can't contribute something, don't feel bad about it. There will be an opportunity for you guys to participate. But please get your heart ready, because God is moving and our surfboards need to be waxed. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Gerard, thank you. Yeah, give him a hand. I just want to add, thank you for sharing that. And I want to add our thanks to everybody who's participated in behind the scenes doing stuff, logos and what have you. But I also want to acknowledge our landlord and the center that have stood behind us. They've built that wall for the kids' ministry area. We've had donations for play, gyms, and stuff. They've put the ceiling in and insulation in the whole kids' ministry at a minimal cost to us. There's no charge for the extra territory we've taken. He's not charging us for that play area. So I just wanted to make a public declaration. Pray for the center. He's been good to us. God's favor is on us, and the center have always looked after us. And so thank you, Henry and Charles and Yonita and Pitt and Pixon. And those are the names of the guys I know. So thank you for that. Anyone need prayer, please come afterwards. There will be a team waiting to pray for you. And join us if you're visiting. Have a coffee with us. We'd love to connect. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Gerard.